Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Mario Ritter, Brian Lynn, and Lucia Milanek. Later, Steve Ember will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Mario Ritter.
The United States is taking action to pressure Iran over its nuclear program and activities across the Middle East. President Donald Trump announced economic sanctions against Iran Monday night. The measures went into effect Tuesday. International restrictions against Iran were lifted as a result of a deal negotiated with world powers in 2015. Under that agreement, Iran promised to limit its nuclear activities for 15 years. In return, other countries offered to lift strong international sanctions, including financial restrictions. President Trump has strongly criticized the agreement, known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. Shortly after the latest sanctions took effect, he wrote on Twitter, "I am asking for world peace, nothing less." U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton said on Tuesday that the reason for the sanctions was not to cause regime change. Bolton said the goal was to get the Iranian government to negotiate a new deal that limits its nuclear activities and missile program. He also said that Iran must step back from its support for international terrorism. The new sanctions target Iran's automobile industry, the trade in gold and other valuable metals, and Iranian money. Additional sanctions will go into effect later. On November 5th, the U.S. government will reestablish sanctions against Iran's energy-related businesses. In addition, the U.S. plans to restrict financial transactions involving the Central Bank of Iran. The new sanctions increase pressure on Iran, which is dealing with economic problems, including inflation and unemployment. Iran has condemned the move, saying U.S. officials are reneging on an international agreement. Iranian leaders have blamed the U.S. for the country's economic unrest. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani said in a speech that the U.S. cannot be trusted because it withdrew from the nuclear deal. He noted that other countries that signed the agreement still support it. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has long opposed the 2015 agreement and welcomed the new sanctions. He said, "This is an important moment for Israel, the U.S., the region, and the entire world." Some Trump administration officials note that critics of the U.S. action say the sanctions will not be effective. The officials, however, said that already is not the case. One official said that nearly 100 international businesses have announced plans to leave the Iranian market. However, some U.S. allies in Europe have voiced strong concerns. The European Union still supports the nuclear agreement with Iran. The EU said it is putting in place a blocking statute. It is meant to stop European companies from obeying sanctions unless they have permission to do so. I'm Mario Ritter.
In recent weeks, we have talked about how people learning a foreign language can be fooled by false friends. These are words that look or sound alike in other languages, but have completely different meanings. Today, we will consider a few examples of false friends in English and German. For German speakers, the term for false friends is falsche Freunde. English itself is a Germanic language, and there are many English words that were borrowed from German. Two well-known examples are kindergarten and Gesundheit, both of which are widely used in English. In the United States, a kindergarten, which word for word means child garden in German, is a preparatory school for children. The German word Gesundheit means health and is often said after people sneeze. It means you are wishing them good health. Some other German words would be immediately recognizable to English speakers. A few have the same meaning in both languages, but many do not. Here are a few of the most common false friends in English and German. In English, the word labor means work. It is also used to describe workers as a group. In German, however, Das Labor is used in scientific and medical terminology. It means laboratory.
As we have already discovered, being tricked by false friends can lead to funny or unsettling situations. One such example is the English word gift. Many people look forward to giving and receiving gifts while celebrating a holiday or birthday. But in German, the word Gift has a much darker meaning. It means poison. So instead of showing up to a party with poison, German speakers would be pleased to know that you brought a Geschenk, the word for gift. Do not be fooled by the English word bald, which is used to describe the head of someone with little or no hair. In German, the word bald means soon. Cars, airplanes, and other things can go fast. In English, the word fast can also describe when someone decides not to take in any food. But in German, fast means almost. The German word for doing something quickly is schnell.
The German word kurios is written almost like the English word curious. Someone is curious if they are interested in trying new things. But you would not want to make a mistake and call a person curios, unless you find them strange. The German word Fabrik is nearly like the English word fabric, a material used to make clothes. But Fabrik actually means factory, which could be used to produce clothing or anything else. Firefighters often use water from a hose when battling fires. But in German, the word Hose means pants. And there are other differences in clothing. In English, one sometimes describes a woman who looks very good in a skirt as rocking her clothes. But in German, the word for skirt is, in fact, Rock.
If you find yourself going to Germany, you might be surprised to see and hear the term groß in many places. An English meaning of gross is something unpleasant. There is also the English expression gross me out. It is used to describe something so unpleasant it may even cause someone to feel physically sick. In German, the word gross is an adjective, just like it is in English. But it means something large. So having a gross ice cream in Germany is not something to be avoided. It can actually be very satisfying. And speaking of taste, there is also an exact German version of this word. But Taste is the German word for button. So, this is often seen in public places to let people know where to push, not what to eat.
You could also be fooled by the German words Rat, Pest, and Bad. While each of these describe generally something undesirable in English, this is not necessarily the case in German. In English, the word pest describes someone who makes you feel tired or something that can cause damage. But pest in German is the word for plague, a serious disease that spreads quickly and kills a lot of people. Most English speakers would not want to come face to face with a rat, an animal considered a pest. However, the German word Rat is a good thing. It means advice. In German-speaking countries, it would not be unusual to see the word Bad in a public place. But Bad is nothing to be feared. It is the name for a place to swim. While smoking is a common activity around the world, the German word smoking describes a nice dinner jacket.
The word mist looks the same in both languages. In English, mist describes small water droplets that can form in the air, sometimes making it difficult to see. A mist can also provide a cooling effect on a warm day. But mist has a completely different German meaning. It describes animal droppings, things that are considered nonsense or foolish. Another false friend in German is gymnasium, which also exists in English. But while a gymnasium or gym is only used in the United States as a room for exercise, a gymnasium is a European secondary school.
You might think you know what Kissen means in German. After all, it looks just like the English word kiss. But the word means pillow in Germany, where the term for kissing is küssen. Another German word often mistaken is chef, which in English means the person responsible for meals at a restaurant. In German, it simply means the chief or leader of any kind of organization. I'm Brian Lynn.
And I'm Lucia Malonig.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember. We continue the story of President John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Kennedy, a Democrat, defeated Republican Vice President Richard Nixon in one of the closest elections in United States history. He took office in January 1961. After 3 months, Kennedy faced a major foreign policy failure. On April 17th, armed Cuban exiles tried to invade Cuba, less than 150 kilometers from the American state of Florida. They had been trained by the Central Intelligence Agency. Their goal was to overthrow the island's communist leader, Fidel Castro. In 1959, he and his guerrilla forces had overthrown Fulgencio Batista, the president who was supported by the United States. The exiles came ashore at Cuba's Bay of Pigs. Most were killed or captured. The last administration, under President Dwight Eisenhower, had planned the invasion, but Kennedy had approved it. After the failure, some Americans again wondered if the 43-year-old president had enough experience to lead the nation. In May 1961, Kennedy went to Paris and met with French President Charles de Gaulle. Kennedy visited France with his wife, Jacqueline, who spoke French and had studied there. In June, Kennedy met in Vienna with Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev. Khrushchev did not want to compromise on any issue. He threatened to have the East Germans block all movement into and out of the Allied-controlled western half of Berlin. In November, the East Germans, with Soviet support, started building the Berlin Wall to separate East and West. President Kennedy quickly announced a large increase in American military forces in Germany. Less than a year later came the Cuban Missile Crisis. On October 22, 1962, President Kennedy made an announcement to the American people.
This government, as promised, has maintained the closest surveillance of the Soviet military buildup on the island of Cuba. Within the past week, unmistakable evidence has established the fact that a series of offensive missile sites is now in preparation on that imprisoned island. The purpose of these bases can be none other than to provide a nuclear strike capability against the Western Hemisphere. Upon receiving the first preliminary hard information of this nature, last Tuesday morning at 9 a.m., I directed that our surveillance be stepped up. And having now confirmed and completed our evaluation of the evidence and our decision on a course of action, this government feels obliged to report this new crisis to you in fullest detail. The characteristic of these new missile sites indicate two distinct types of installations. Several of them include medium-range ballistic missiles capable of carrying a nuclear warhead for a distance of more than 1,000 nautical miles. Each of these missiles, in short, is capable of striking Washington, D.C., the Panama Canal, Cape Canaveral, Mexico City, or any other city in the southeastern part of the United States, in Central America, or in the Caribbean area.
Kennedy had a warning for the Soviets.
It shall be the policy of this nation to regard any nuclear missile launched from Cuba against any nation in the Western Hemisphere as an attack by the Soviet Union on the United States, requiring a full retaliatory response upon the Soviet Union.
Kennedy and his national security advisors debated what to do about the Soviet missiles in Cuba. Should the United States try to destroy them? What if some of the nuclear missiles escaped the attack? Kennedy decided to use a naval blockade. He called it a quarantine to prevent any more Soviet ships from reaching Cuba. There were tense negotiations with the Soviets. Khrushchev demanded a promise that the United States would not invade Cuba. Kennedy agreed and did so publicly. Secretly, he also agreed to another demand. He promised that the United States would remove its Jupiter missiles based in Turkey after the crisis was over. The Cuban Missile Crisis lasted 13 days. It raised fears of a nuclear war. But it ended peacefully when the Soviets agreed to remove their missiles from Cuba and turn their ships around. But the Cold War continued. In Asia, the Kennedy administration tried to fight communism in Vietnam by increasing the number of American military advisors there. The United States and the Soviet Union did make some progress on arms control. In 1963, the two nations agreed to ban tests of nuclear weapons except underground. Kennedy also had to deal with domestic issues, including discrimination against blacks. His brother Robert was Attorney General, the nation's top law enforcement official. The Justice Department took legal action against states in the South that violated laws on voting rights. The administration also supported a voter registration campaign to sign up more black voters. Robert Kennedy repeatedly called on National Guard troops to protect blacks when they tried to register to vote or attend white schools. President Kennedy said the situation was causing a moral crisis in America. He decided it was time to propose a new civil rights law that would guarantee equal treatment for blacks in public places and jobs. Congress did not pass a wide-reaching civil rights bill until 1964. By then, Kennedy was no longer president. In November 1963, he traveled to Texas. He hoped to settle a dispute in the Democratic Party in that state. The dispute might have affected his chances for re-election in 1964. Kennedy arrived in Dallas in the late morning of November 22nd. The president and his wife were seated in the back of an open-topped car as his motorcade drove through the city. Suddenly, there were gunshots.
Bulletin from CBS News. In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
The motorcade raced to Parkland Memorial Hospital, but doctors could do little to save his life. This was how television newsman Walter Cronkite reported the news.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Police quickly arrested a suspect. Lee Harvey Oswald worked in a building near where Kennedy had been shot. People had seen him leave the building with a gun. Lee Harvey Oswald was a man with a strange past. He was a former United States Marine. He was also a communist. He had lived for a while in the Soviet Union and had tried to become a Soviet citizen. He worked for a committee that supported the communist government in Cuba. Police questioned Oswald about the shooting of President Kennedy. He told them he did not do it. After 2 days, officials decided to move him to a different jail. Oswald was being led by two police officers. Suddenly, a man stepped forward. There was a shot. Oswald fell to the ground. Television cameras broadcast the events live. The man who killed Oswald was Jack Ruby. He was a nightclub owner in Dallas. He said he shot Oswald to prevent the Kennedy family from having to live through a trial. A commission investigated the assassination of John F. Kennedy. The Chief Justice of the United States, Earl Warren, led the investigation. In its report, the Warren Commission said that Lee Harvey Oswald had acted alone. It said there was no plot to kill the president. Many Americans never accepted that finding. Some blamed Fidel Castro or the Central Intelligence Agency. Others blamed organized crime. President Kennedy was buried in Arlington National Cemetery across the Potomac River from Washington. An eternal flame burns night and day by his grave.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.